Zig Ziglar tells the story of young Ben Hooper. When Ben Hooper was born many years ago in the foothills of East Tennessee, little boys like Ben who were born to unwed mothers were ostracized and treated terribly. Saturday was just about the toughest day of all for little boys like Ben. On that day, his mother took him down to the local grocery store and they did their shopping. And other parents could have been very unkind, and they would have made caustic remarks like, for example, "Did you ever figure out who his daddy is?" In school, no other kids would play with Ben. They wouldn't even take him under their notice. But when Ben was 12 years of age, a new preacher came to town. Ben began to hear exciting things about him and decided to find out for himself. So he began going along to the local church. He attended it the first week. He arrived late and he left early. He did the same thing on the second week and then the third week. He was terrified of walking into any group because of what they may well say about him. By the sixth or the seventh Sunday, it just felt as though the message that that new preacher was bringing was right for him. It just seemed to be so appropriate to him. And in the heat of the moment, he forgot to leave the church early on that seventh Sunday. The service ended, and the aisle instantly thronged with people. And before he knew it, as he was standing in the aisle, there was a hand upon his shoulder. And as he turned round and he looked up, he looked into the kind eyes of the new preacher. The preacher asked this question, "Whose boy are you?" Instantly, the church grew deadly quiet, knowing the stories that surrounded little Ben Hooper. But slowly, a smile grew across the face of the young preacher. "Oh, I know whose boy you are. Why, the family resemblance is unmistakable. You are a child of God." With that, the preacher slapped Ben on the back. "That's quite a heritage you've got there, boy. Now go and see what it is that you have to live up to." Moses was about to be reminded of exactly the same thing. Last week, we saw how the Lord spoke to him through the bush. It was just an ordinary bush, although there was an extraordinary message that came from the presence who was in that particular bush. It was the voice of God. And God was reminding Moses of who he was and of God's plan for him. God was at work within Moses' life. Now, the big question today is this: having heard God's call, how did Moses respond to that call? Well, what I want you to find today, and those of you who were at the midweek a few months ago will have heard me mention some of these things as we were looking at the fear of God versus the fear of man. So excuse me if the headings are the same, but some of the content will be a little different. How did Moses respond to this? Well, Moses got himself all tied up in knots. Knots with a K, but knots with an N. He got all tied up in knots. And I wonder, when the Lord is calling you to serve him, maybe he's calling you to be involved in the committee here in this congregation. And whenever I call with you, or Robert calls with you, I wonder, will you say yes to that call? Will you heed what the Lord is asking you to do? Will you be involved in that work within this congregation? If it is not on the committee, perhaps it will be on something else within the congregation. And over the next number of weeks, we're going to be putting sheets out to look for people to get involved in things in the church. Because if you're a Christian, the one thing is sure is this, that God does not want you to be sitting and doing nothing, but he wants you to be serving him. So let's get rid of the knots and let's seek to be faithful to the Lord's call. If the Lord is calling you to service, then he will equip you. On the other hand, as voting members of the congregation, you must be careful who you elect to the position of committee member. We must be seeking for those who are of strong spiritual conviction, those who are not prone to laziness, those who are intensely practical. We need to look for those, surely, who attend the services, both services, whether that's here or in one of the other churches, those who are active in prayer, those who are seeking the deeper things of the faith through midweek meetings and Bible studies and prayer. They should be the ones that we are looking for. And as the Lord calls Moses, he seems to get his knots tighter and tighter, and the Lord needs to loose them for him. Someone once wrote this little verse in a poem. With thoughtfulness and impatient hands, we tangle up the plans the Lord hath wrought. And when we cry in pain, he says, be quiet, my child, while I untie the knot. What knots does the Lord need to untie in your life today? Perhaps some of them will be the same as Moses' knots. Let's look at those knots this morning, because the first one he tells us is, I'm not smart. Look with me at verse 11 of Exodus chapter 3. Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? In a sense, Moses was saying, but Lord, I can't be your spokesman in this situation. Why, I wouldn't have the answers to their questions. I wouldn't be smart enough to be able to deal with this situation. Moses feels like a bit of a dunce. He feels as though his years in the wilderness, instead of sharpening him for this sort of dialogue that he's going to have to engage with, has blunted him entirely, that he has lost that sharpness. The story is told of two cows standing in a field one day. And a milk tanker drives by, and on the side of the tanker it says, pasteurized, homogenized, standardized with vitamin A added. One cow turned to the other and said, kind of makes you feel a tad inadequate, doesn't it? And Moses felt inadequate for the task. He looked at himself and he said, there's no way that I can possibly do this. I will not have the answers for these people. Charles Swindle said this, when Moses gave God that first miserable excuse and said, I don't have all the answers, God had an immediate reply, perhaps not, but you will have all of me. You will have all of me. Look at verse 12. God said, I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. God here is promising Moses that he will be with him through thick and thin, through good and through bad, through happy days and through sad days, that God will be with you. Now, God is not saying to Moses, I am going to go instead of you, but he is saying to Moses, I will be with you. Very often, God allows us to go through times of difficulty and times of pressure, times of trial, and even times of pain, because God is doing a work in us and through us at those times. I've seen people who have gone through the most dreadful situations in their lives, but you know, as they have laying on a sick bed, or as they have dealt with financial difficulty, the Lord has used them to speak to someone else. When God calls us, he gives us the strength, but we still have the requirement to go. Moses says, I'm not smart. God says, don't worry about it. I will be with you. That's the first one. Second one is this. Moses says, I'm not sophisticated. Look with me at verse 13. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? Here and then in verse 1 of chapter 4, Moses answered, what if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you? Moses shows that here he is afraid of ridicule. Now, I know a little bit about ridicule. And I want you to feel terribly sorry for me here. Now, I told some of the ones at the midweek this story before, and I know they won't laugh, and I'm trusting that the rest of you won't laugh either. But I can remember whenever I was just 8 years of age, Mom and Dad took a trip to America. And we were walking through the busy streets of New York, and I don't know, I guess it was about 80 degrees or 90 degrees. For those of you who are younger than me, that's 30-something in new money. In old money, it was 80 or 90. It was really, really hot, that's all that I know. And I was walking down the street, and you might be surprised to know this, but I was complaining. Not that I ever complained, but I was that day, and I was complaining about the heat. And I reckon that by this stage, I probably would have been Prime Minister of England or President of the United States had it not been for what my mother did at that stage. In the middle of the street, with hundreds and hundreds of people thronging all around, she stopped me. She took my shirt off. She then took my vest off. Those were in the days when boys wore vests. She took my, it wasn't a string vest, in case you're getting the wrong picture. She took my vest off, so I was standing there and I was trying to cover myself up. An eight-year-old in the middle of the street. Imagine. These days, I'm sure I could have reported her to somebody, but not back then. I'll be in trouble at lunchtime today. And I was absolutely and utterly mortified. It scarred me deeply, as you can tell, even to this day. And Moses probably saw himself with the wrong fashion. He probably saw himself not only with the wrong fashion, but also the wrong face and maybe even the wrong hairdo. After spending 40 years out in the desert of Midian, I reckon that he didn't dress the way that he once did. Certainly not the way that the Pharaoh of Egypt would have dressed. He didn't look like he did. He would have had very brown skin by this stage because he was working outdoors all that time. And he would have looked vastly different from the Pharaoh that he was going to have to see. And you can imagine Moses saying, how can this possibly go and speak to the king of Egypt? I'm not sophisticated. I'm going to be a laughingstock in front of the king of Egypt and in front of the children of Israel. God, I'm not sure that I can do this. I'm not sure that I'm the right person for this. And I wonder, as a Christian, do you ever feel this way? Do you ever feel that you don't have the social skills that are necessary to stand on someone's doorstep and share the gospel with them? Do you ever feel that if you were to witness to your next door neighbor or to come back home from church and tell your family what you heard, that you're going to get all tongue-tied? Well, I can tell you, it is a frightening experience. How do you think I feel every Sunday when I'm standing up here with my knees knocking and teeth chattering? You just can't hear it because Desi's done fantastic things with a microphone. But here was Moses saying, I'm not capable for this, God. I'm not able to do this. But again, let me say this, folks. If God calls you, he will equip you. Now, it all begins with a but for Moses in verse 11. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Moses uses his but here. And it's as though God is saying, if I can say this without getting into trouble, it's as though God is saying, look, shift that but. I'm not being crude. Get rid of the but that you've put at the front of what you're saying there. And realize that it's not about you, but it's about me. Stop questioning Moses. Trust and act. This is all a question of trust. And what about you? Are you trusting in God? Are you following God? Are you depending upon God? Are you relying on God for everything? Are you looking to Him for everything? Because that is one of the real problems of our age. One of the real problems of our age is that we have money. And that money allows us to buy things. That money allows us to feel comfortable. We have jobs. We have reasonable lifestyles. And as a result of that, we are not trusting in God as much as former generations have. We have lost that sense of a need to depend upon God. God's saying to Moses here, trust me. To prove the point, in verse 3, the Lord said to Moses, he had asked him, what's that in your hand? He had said, a staff. The Lord said, throw it on the ground. Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake, and he ran from it. Here God is showing Moses that he's in control. He is showing Moses that he will be able to perform all sorts of wonderful signs through his servant. If he can take an inanimate stick and turn it into an object like a serpent, then certainly he can take one of his own children and he can use him to save his people. God then gave him leprosy in his hand and said to Moses, put your hand inside your coat and take it out again. And as he took it out again, the leprosy was gone from his hand. God was giving Moses just a mere glimpse of his awesome power. Can God use you? Absolutely, he can use you. No matter who you are, no matter what your skill set may be, God can use you. And God has a task for you. If you are his child, he wants you to be serving him. There's no question about that. It's just where he wants you to be serving him. And that's what you need to be checking out with the Lord. God can use you. I don't want you to take offense at this, but God can often use the weak and foolish things of this world for his glory. He used Jonah. Jonah was a bigot. He hated the Ninevites. But God sent him to go administer to them. He did it, and God saved them. Gideon was a coward. He didn't want to go and fight. He didn't want to serve the Lord and lead the people in that way, but God took him and used him. And Moses, well, by this stage, Moses thinks that he's a nothing. Moses doesn't consider the greatness and majesty of God and the ability that God has to take him and use him. God was about to use him in the most wonderful way. God highlights this in verse 14. God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you're to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. Now, these words in the Hebrew spell out God's most holy name, Yahweh. If you're wanting to read the Hebrew that you see on the screen, you don't read it from the left to the right, you read it from the right to the left. And you'll see it's just four letters there in the Hebrew, Yahweh. It was so holy that whenever the scribes would write this name for God down, they would take a new pen for each letter of his name. Discard the old pen and use a new one for the next letter. And God is saying, this is who I am, Moses. I am that I am. This is Yahweh that's talking to you. And when you go to the people, you say to them, this is the God who has sent me. I am that I am. Now, when we see Jesus in the New Testament, he uses that phrase, I am, repeatedly, in fact, seven times. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father except through me. I am the door into the sheepfold. All who came before me are thieves and robbers. Over and over again, I am the vine. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd who will lay down his life for the sheep. And every time Jesus said it, Jesus was saying, I am God. I am God. That's why the Jews balked at it whenever Jesus said it. But Jesus sets himself out clearly to be God. God says to Moses, look, it doesn't matter whether you're sophisticated or not. It doesn't matter whether you're smart or not. This isn't about you, Moses. This is about me. The last one, Moses said, I'm not a speaker. Look with me at verse 10 of chapter 4. Moses said to the Lord, pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. Here Moses plays his last trump card. He says to God, my tongue is slow in the draw. And when I would go to speak to them, they wouldn't understand me anyway. I've been in Midian far too long now, and I've picked up their colloquialisms. I now talk like one of the Midianites, and there's no way that they're going to understand me if I were to go back into Egypt. But Moses says, I can't speak. And he says, even they could understand the accent. Well, I've got a stammer. And I'm not going to be able to get the words out. It just won't happen. I can remember my very first time doing door-to-door visitation in Belfast. I can tell you it was absolutely terrifying. I can tell you when I do door-to-door visitation today that it is still absolutely terrifying. That has never changed. And I can remember standing in the doorstep and the person inside the house coming out. And I was the one who was meant to be doing the introduction. I was meant to say, we're two folk along here from Emmanuel Presbyterian Church. And as the person came to the door, I went to speak and nothing came out. I know you wish today that it was the same. But back then, nothing came out. Now, I was all right because I had an older, more mature Christian there. And he looked at me and he could see that I was struggling and he filled in the blanks. In fact, for most of the rest of the evening, he filled in the blanks. And I can understand how Moses felt. I'm not smart enough to be able to answer their questions. I'm not sophisticated enough. I don't look right to be going in there. And I'm not a speaker. You know, I struggle with my speech. How am I going to say anything? But what a reply God gives. Look at verse 11 of chapter 4. The Lord said to Moses, who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. God says to Moses, you've had enough. I have made all things, Moses, including man's mouth, and I will fill yours. You know, there's nothing better than this. We can speak our words and that will have absolutely zero effect. But when God speaks through us, that changes everything. And this is what we need to be praying for. Whenever we are in the workplace and we have that opportunity to share something about Jesus, we need to be praying that God will speak through us, that His Holy Spirit will be speaking through us. Now, that doesn't mean to say we don't spend time studying the Scriptures and getting to know them, saying, well, God will speak through me anyway. No, God will use what we have learned about Him. He will use the things that we know about Him, and He will apply those and bring those to our memory whenever we need them. but we need to trust. Just like Moses, whenever God said to him, take the snake by the tail. Well, I wouldn't have wanted to take the snake by the tail. I wouldn't. But it's a test, isn't it, of our trust in God. And if God says to you, go, do this or do that, be involved in this or be involved in that, what do we do? Will we take the snake by the tail? Will we trust in God? That God will help us when we need Him most. Moses is definitely slow of learning. And he says in verse 13, pardon your servant, Lord. Please send someone else. Believe it or not, there's a couple of books with that title. That's one of them on the screen. Here I am, Lord. Send someone else. Sometimes we feel like that, don't we? If we're honest, we think, Lord, send somebody else. I've had a miserable day. Send somebody else. You know, things aren't going the way I want them to go. Lord, send someone else. I'm not the right one to be dealing with this. It's so easy for us to say that. And the bare facts of the matter were that Moses was God's chosen one for this task. It was time for Moses to give in to God's will. It was time for him to listen to God and to alter the course to suit what God was telling him. Maybe that's the case for you as a Christian today. God has said to you, I want you to do this. I want you to serve me here. And it will mean radically changing the course of your life. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior. But there's something stirring within you. And you know that you need Jesus. You realize that that is your only hope of ever seeing heaven. And today you need to change the course of your life. And you need to trust in Him. And you need to be forgiven for your sins. The story is told of a U.S. battleship. It was sailing one day in a terrible storm, and an object appeared on the radar. They radioed the object, please alter your course 10 degrees north. The reply came back, we cannot comply. You alter your course 10 degrees south. When the captain on the ship heard this, he replied, we are a battleship with the United States Navy. We are ordering you that you alter your course 10 degrees north. The reply was received loud and clear. We still advise you to alter your course 10 degrees south because we are a lighthouse. As the Lord calls you to service or to salvation, are you still going to let your knots stop you from being used by the Master? Or will you let Him untie those knots one by one and to make you the person that God wants you to be? Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this story about Moses' life. We thank you, Lord, for what this servant of yours went through because it is an example to each one of us that we too fail you as Moses failed you, that we too at times are reluctant servants as Moses was a reluctant servant. And yet, Lord, we realize that when we allow ourselves to be taken by you in the way that you want, that then, Lord, the result will be that glory is brought to your name. We pray, Lord, for all who are here today as Christians, that you will help them to see what you would have them do for you. Those, Lord, who are here today as yet without Christ, that you would let them see that today they must start by surrendering their life to you and by trusting in Jesus Christ for salvation. Be pleased to bless us as we continue in our worship of you, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.